Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. We're back. Seems like it was just yesterday.
A couple weeks.
Yeah. I know we've had a couple people asking where we've been, and it's been kind of back and forth, both of our faults. Just life basically got in the way. Brian had a software glitch the first time or the first week. Not your melon this time either. your whole system basically went to crap on you. And then on Mother's Day was last week, and I had to make sure to take care of that. So, but we are back here. We're actually doing this the first part anyway. We're doing it on YouTube. So everyone over there, just know that. Once we start talking about, I don't know how long we're going to go. We can talk about some of the FBI government stuff here. But once we get into the Pfizer stuff and things like that, I don't know that that's really YouTube friendly. I don't think we'll be saying election or anything like that. Although that may put the YouTube censors in a frenzy if they have an actual person. Anytime you say Trump election, that they have to go back and manually check it. We should say Trump election every 5 minutes. But anyway, yeah, we are on Rumble, we are on YouTube and all that. Are you still out in the left coast?
And still out west.
Are you? Yeah. You were telling me the other day you actually have plans. You've got a setup going on over at Prepper Camp.
Yeah, looking at being at Prepper Camp and when that hits in September 22nd, I think, or something like that.
September. You plan on being out in California until then, or are you?
I don't know, man. I'm not sure what's going on, dude.
Yeah. I hear you. Cold War Prepper in the chat. Howdy from Central Texas. Cassandra. Hey, Cassandra, how you doing? Kevin's here. Wolfgang. A lot of people on YouTube this week. Really sucks that they won't let us say what we want to say here on YouTube. Otherwise, we'd do the whole damn show over here. But we got a lot of cool people over on Rumble, too. But a couple things today before we actually get started in the show, I wanted to mention because I'm working on some stuff and I want to make sure and let everyone know over here at the Survival Preppers. I mentioned this last week on my show over at the Survivalist Prepper, the Survivalist Prepper show. I mentioned this, but I've got a community. I tried Locals and Locals just completely sucks. You can't do anything on Locals. I couldn't invite anybody in to actually contribute and chat back and forth, which is exactly what I wanted to do. So what I did was created this group. It's a Mighty Networks group. And this allows me, any of the recent or existing Bug Out Location members, I can add them into the group. Got Al Bundy right here. I was saying welcome to somebody. But this kind of shows you what it is. It's almost like a Facebook type of feed and everything. And you can get in here. You can post stuff. I can post stuff. I'm going to post updates and all that stuff over there. In here on this left-hand sidebar, when you first log in, you'll get to your feed, which is basically everything. Or you can change it up to, this is now it's everything. And if you join for free, you get access to the free community and then the upcoming things that I have. But if you become a supporter, I've got all of these different sections in here on under supporter, which is sort of categorizes everything, sort of like a forum. So you got food preservation, you got water storage, alternative energy, first aid, all sorts of things, which is really, really cool because we can, sort of segment down and something you're interested in, ask a question, whatever, you can go in there. Then down here at the bottom, you've got the Bug Out Location members, which is where the Bug Out Location members basically get access to everything on here. And this is where I'll be posting updates because I'm doing a Bug Out Location 3.0, starting from the ground up. And I will be putting exclusive content, contests, and things like that for the Bug Out Location members. So just a pretty cool little group right here. It's not free, but it allows me to do the things that I wanted to be able to do with locals, but I just couldn't do it over there. I guess if you're Steven Crowder or, you know, Dave Rubin or whatever, it works for you. Mm-hmm. For Dale, it doesn't work. So one more thing on that, too. I will also be putting a Survival Preppers little group in there as well, because I know Survival Preppers is a little bit different than Survivalist Prepper and Mind for Survival. We tend to get a little bit more vocal about things and talk about different things. So, Kevin said in the chat, but I will do that. That way we can do the same things. I said, we can access the new one yet, or is it still under construction? No, the new bug out location, I basically got the front page done. So there's not a whole lot going on with that at this point. So, but it's going to be cool soon. And I'll post updates in that group as well about what I've got done and the time frame and all of that. So it'll be pretty cool. To start the show off, though, let me see if I can share this tab right here. This is an article, and I've got a couple questions for you. This is an article from Daisy Luther that she just put up. And I don't really necessarily want to go through the article, but I wanted to get your thoughts on, and this is going to sound like a stupid question, so don't jump down my throat at first when I say, do rich people have an advantage? Because pretty freaking obvious, right?
Right.
But I was reading this article, and I was thinking about these people that, and I don't think I can put this on where it's a side view. I mean, we'll just put it like that. But I was thinking about this, and you've got these rich people, these Hollywood actors, these elites and everybody that can, if you have a lot of money, they can do whatever they want, right? But does that, I mean, it to some extent, it gives them a leg up. But does it really give them a leg up, I guess is my point, because there's a lot more to prepping than the stuff, right? Or how much of a leg up, I suppose, is the question. What are your thoughts?
I guess it just depends on their mindset and what their, you know, what their knowledge level is and stuff. But yeah, I mean, they can go out and get the best of, go get training. They can have people come in and do, you know, threat assessments, vulnerability assessments on their house and properties and say, hey, what do I need to do to make this better? They can, you know, having to go drive from one location to other, they can have the best, you know, to get there. Heck, they can fly, right? Have a helicopter pilot or something like that. How much money you have. So I think it makes a big difference. Doesn't mean you can't prepare, obviously, if you don't have a lot of money, but you just need to be more, I think you need to be more involved in it and more, more strategic in your approach, understand what you're doing. Because when you have a bunch of money, if you buy something that doesn't really work out, you can go buy another one, buy something different, right? That does work out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it definitely gives you a leg up, but I think there's real quick here. Kevin said in the chat, he said, no, I mean the new chat thingy that you just showed, the group, the community. I put a link in the Facebook group, the private Facebook group, Kevin. If you're not, I think you're in there, but if you're not, get a hold of me after the show and I'll send you a link. But there's part of it where I get it, like a prepper that's got a lot of money. And I know there's a bunch out there and is able to do a lot of things like that, I think is better off. I mean, I guess if you can afford a helicopter and things like that, then you're at that same level as the Hollywood movie stars and crap. But that, like this Josh Dremel dude, which is, it's very cool what he's doing, but there's a lot more to preparedness than having the stuff. I mean, he talked about in that article about how he's learning to garden, basically. So he's going in the right direction, learning to hunt, things like that. Whereas us preppers, we've sort of a lot of different areas. We've already sort of figured that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And I think even sort of on that, the less money that we have, the more sort of ingenious, the more we have to learn about these different techniques and things.
You're more of a doer, right? You have to do it when you have a lot more money. You can hire people to do it for you. Again, you have somebody come out and say, hey, what do I need here? You know, it's one of the things, if you read the book Bunker by Brad Garrett, one of the things he talks about in there is how a lot of the Silicon Valley people, right, when all the COVID stuff was coming around, they all went out and bought properties and had bug out locations that they bought and stocked up. Some of them all around the world, New Zealand with some, but a lot of them went out and, you know, bought properties in other states and stuff that they stocked up and they're getting ready for in case something ever happens.
Yeah. I just, yeah, it would be nice. I just imagine, like, if I had that kind of throwing around money and have the knowledge that I have about preparedness and what I would want to spend it on, it would be, you know, short of buying my own private island like probably Bill Gates has and Jeff Bezos and all those fools, I'd have some super ass compound. National Geographic would be trying to get a hold of me to do a feature on my prepper compound. but I think it's interesting because yes, it does make things easier. And for preppers that do have that kind of money, it's not that they want to throw it away or anything, but when you have an idea, it's easier to implement that idea when you've got a lot of money. But that doesn't necessarily mean, unless you are that Bill Gates, that you can get that private island. It doesn't right. necessarily mean that you're, you know, out of the woods, because like this Josh dude, he's got his private compound. But if things were to go down like a true SHTF long term type situation, he doesn't yet know how to hunt. He doesn't know how to garden. I don't know what sort of long term food storage or whatever plan he's got there, but that all really plays a factor. And yes, you've got your bug out location. That's one part of the whole right. plan. So I just thought it was pretty interesting that I like it when these actors, I got to pull this file up. I like it when these actors do these things when they're, because it's not the Hollywood elite liberal, you know, that California mindset, basically. You've got some of these guys that are outside of that and actually think for themselves rather than that hive mind. So when you get like guys like him and you've got, what's Star-Lord's name?
I can't think of it off the
top. Yeah, I had it before the show and now I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, people like that, they kind of step outside the box and say, screw it, I'm going to say what I want to say. It's kind of refreshing to see that come from Hollywood, because it just doesn't exist. And I think it's more the, not just Hollywood, but the tech companies, all of media and all that basically are sort of that hive mind. So when you see somebody like this step out and talk about prepping as just something he does, like matter of factly, I think it's pretty cool.
EMB Wolf said it, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, that's right. Yep. I don't know if you can hear that dinging. I'm actually going to close. That's from the group that I have, and I've got the tab open, so I'm going to close the tab. I've already talked about it. So, but I just thought that was pretty cool. I suppose we can talk about this corrupt government, all this crap on YouTube, without getting in too much trouble. So I think we'll just stay on for a little bit. But once I've got a video I wanted to play and get your thoughts on of this British guy who is an ex-VP of Pfizer. And he talks mm-hmm. about how all of this stuff could have been, and in his opinion, is sort of all coordinated and planned. I thought it was a pretty good, pretty interesting video. But I put together this video to start off this segment because it was hilarious. I saw one part of it and then I had to put the whole thing together. But it seems like they just don't give a crap anymore. And I'm talking top down. And it's not just like Watergate is supposed to be this huge deal, right? But when you think about
it, was a huge deal.
Well, yeah, I know it is. But when you think about the things that happened, when you think about Watergate compared to the things that are happening right now and nothing's getting done about anything right now, I mean, it just seems absolutely ridiculous to me. So compared to all of the things that are going on right now, I think Watergate.
Well, there's a lot of talk. Watergate was also a setup to get Nixon out of office, right?
Yeah, which very well.
Three of the four people that were involved were with the CIA.
So. Yeah. And you know what? That would be par for the course for them, right? Because the only time anybody ever gets convicted or harassed or whatever is if you're not part of the machine, right?
Well, who was Nixon's replacement? It was Ford, right? And Ford was part of the Warren Commission that investigated the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh, weird. Must be like a... He probably didn't have any insider knowledge.
So you're saying the more the things change, the more they stay the same, basically?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just that everything's out in the open and they're on hyperspeed right now.
Yeah, yeah. Let me play this video real quick to start this off then.
It's time to remember who in God's name we are. This is the United States of America. There's nothing we've ever decided to do we've been unable to do, period. And that's not hyperbole. We have never, never, never failed when we're together. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get up. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. Even his supporters know who he is. We got to let them know who we are. We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. Truth over facts.
This makes sense to, you know, I'm going to put it another way. It makes no sense.
Come on, man. Oh, it's time.
I had to throw that last part in there because I was like, he's a moron. Now, that clip was from like 18, I think, something like that. So it is kind of old. You could tell because he actually, there was a few sentences he actually put together until the end and then he screwed up. But I just think it's and it's interesting to see how he's sort of declined since then as well, because he did look a little bit more spry just 5 years ago. So,
oh yeah.
But I think the reason I wanted to talk about this is because you've got so many. You got the Durham report that just came out. You've got all of these. The FBI basically, it's almost like the Hillary thing, right? Where it was like, list all the facts about how guilty she is, and then in the end, no, there's nothing we can do about it. And that's like, I'm sitting here thinking, it's like it really doesn't matter, right? And we sort of talked about this before the show, where it's like we're almost like tired of all of this stuff because it's just perpetual and it really, nothing ever gets done with it. Nothing really matters. So as a country, I mean, what's the point, I suppose, with all this stuff?
I don't know, man. It's getting tiresome though, right?
Yeah. 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 When you've basically got the FBI that just basically got slammed for cheating and granted, we were talking about Watergate being the same old story. The FBI has always been that way, but they abused, I forget, 172 or whatever it was, like thousands of times in the last 5 years, going after Trump and doing all those things. Everything that was a complete lie that we all knew was a lie. Nobody would admit that it's a lie, but now it's sort of out there that it's a lie. And they still don't want to admit it's a lie. And then FBI. I think
it's, you look at, was it in 21, maybe it was 22, 200 and some thousand abuses of the FISA courts.
Yeah.
Spying on people. You know, yeah. It's like, dude, they're just, they run amok. Again, it comes back to the thing I always say, right? The name of the FBI headquarters is still the J. Edgar Hoover building. Like, that's like saying if you, you know, that's like, why don't we put Adolf Hitler on it? Kind of level of stuff. I mean, maybe J. Edgar Hoover wasn't quite the level of Hitler, but dude, that guy did a lot of, he infringed upon a lot of rights and he did a lot of abuses and everybody knows it, but they still, that's their MO, you know? And you saw a couple of the whistleblowers come forward from the FBI, but where's the rest of them, right? I mean, if you go on Twitter, you see there's videos of FBI agents that are repeatedly going to people's houses that, you know, from either from January 6th or other stuff that, and it's, you know, just kind of harassment now. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What are we, you know, what are they, there's, I mean, remember Kevin McCarthy ran like, we're going to do all this stuff. Oh, okay. What are you doing? What are you doing there, Kev?
Yeah. No. Well, does it even matter when they do? Because no. Look at the Durham report and all that. No. They go out and they investigate and they spend years and a bunch of money on doing this stuff. And then nothing comes of it, except they get reelected, basically.
Yeah. It's all about staying in power and keeping control, man. There's, you know, I don't know. You know, I used to try to think of ways that we get out of it. I don't know there's any way out of this.
Yeah, I don't either, because they can basically do whatever they want to do, because like I put in the show notes, if it really doesn't, if the ref is siding with your team, and then nobody's going to complain about what the ref is doing. And people are just okay with all of the corruption and all this crap these days. As long as it works out for them, then, you know, it's okay. But in the long run, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to continue to just get worse and worse and worse. That's sort of why nobody is, same thing with Epstein. Nobody's getting prosecuted. Nobody's getting anything, because it's almost like the government is too big to fail. There's too many people. You can't go after Hillary Clinton. You can't go after one person because there's five other people and a couple of them have probably already been president, that are going to get implicated in the whole thing. So it would crash. It would completely bring down the whole thing. So I think now it's so corrupt that it's, you know, just like the banks, it's too big to fail. So they just got to keep propping it up.
I mean, the banks are part of it, right? So
yeah,
it's across the board. I mean, what has ever happened to Hillary? I mean, come on. I mean, how many memes are out there about all the people tied to Hillary Clinton and Hillary and Bill that just end up dying with these crazy mysterious, you know, like, I mean, it's mysterious, like in ways that are like, really, that person, like, that's how that person died? No. You know, I mean, so much so that there's, like I said, there's memes and it's there's jokes about it. Comedians make jokes about it because it's so out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think it really doesn't matter. And that's what's sort of disheartening, because the last couple of weeks, it's almost, I don't want to say it's a good thing we weren't here, but it really almost is, because I've been so, I don't watch any cable news anymore. Can't stand any of them. I mean, any of them anymore. And it's just, I get so tired of listening to all this crap, because you hear about how bad things are. The FBI did this and the FBI did that and this and that and this and that. And then all of a sudden they come out with a tweet saying, I read a tweet or their statement saying, we made a lot of changes since then, and we're doing things differently.
No, yeah. They did.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just one of those things. It's like, man, it doesn't matter. They're going to do whatever the hell they want to do. And we say this all the time too, is the main thing is, as far as preparedness goes, is worrying about yourself, because they're going to run this country into the ground. We all know that. There's not a whole lot we can do about it. I've always said, you know, keep your eye on the ball, make sure and pay attention to what they're doing and everything. But I honestly don't know how much it matters anymore. And I hate to say this, but I almost think it doesn't matter. And this is where we should probably get off YouTube, but it almost doesn't matter if you vote anymore. It could matter or could, you know, be pointless. So, I mean, I don't know anymore. Well, I mean,
think about it on this way, even, you know, not going, taking it a step further on that is right. Like, I mean, we literally allow org companies to have a voice in elections.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why? They're not the people. I didn't see anything about companies in the Constitution, you know, but we let them have all this power. Right. You know, and the lobbyists and all that. So, you know, how much does it really, your vote is competing against that. You know, the fact that a guy like George Soros can come out and flow, you know, bazillions of dollars into local campaigns to elect district attorneys who then do the shenanigans that they're doing, you know, like our system's rigged from that point of view. Whether you're concerned with, you know, what happens at the polls, you know, and whether there's shit going on, but just from the amount of money that they allow to be pushed. I mean, right. It was supposed to be transparent. Like, who donates is supposed to be transparent. And then what did they do? Well, we'll make these special packs that micro donations, right? So that way that they're you know, so that way anyone paying attention to it doesn't get to see who's making those donations. You don't think George Soros and those guys can figure out how to do, you know, a million, you know, or 100 million $1 donations? Sure they can.
Yeah.
They get the money to figure that out.
Well, and they've got the help from the inside too, because you don't think the politicians are telling them which loopholes to use and all that stuff too? Yeah. 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 I mean, it's ridiculous, because we all know politicians are slime balls, right? I mean, that's a given. For the history of politicians, they've been slime balls. But it's the fact that now it's not just the politicians. It is these corporations. It's the media. It's the FBI, the DOJ, all of them just sort of working together. Like I've said before, it's not a for the people, by the people anymore. They exist just to help themselves and maintain themselves. And when you get all these people together, what chance do we have as American citizens?
Well, and then, you know, it was one of the things that, you know, that Trump beat the drum on is the deep state, right? When you have career bureaucrats that stay in there forever and can influence, you know, can influence their whether it's the Department of State, the CIA, all that stuff, right? They have all this influence. They're a powerful force. And we have, you know, laws and unions. Oh, you can't get rid of this person because of this and that. It's the whole system's been hijacked, right? It's the Department of State and the CIA and the NSA and all. They don't serve the people. They don't work to serve the people. They work to serve the elites and the powerful and keep them in power.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you, you know, how do you go against that? You know, I mean, go back and look at when Matt Taibbi testified before Congress. Literally that day, an IRS agent showed up at his house the day he was testifying before Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard some things about the whistleblowers, too, like they a bunch of them just kind of disappeared. And I didn't hear anything after that as far as if they reappeared or where they went or if it was. I know there's a lot of crazy conspiracy theories that I try not to pay too much attention to because who knows what the truth is these days. But people talking about how they, you know, got basically Hillary'd. And
well, there's, I mean, at a minimum, like the whistleblowers that were before Congress, a lot of them were saying that as soon as they came out as a whistleblower, the FBI started just targeting them with all kinds of, you know, going after them, like, you know, hammering them at the workplace and suspending them. And so
intimidation,
you know, they have an aggressive thing. If you go against their narrative,
yeah.
We have this Ray, this FBI director that, you know, and Trump put him in, like, dude, like this guy, again, this guy's a mess. I mean, he's not a mess if you love the elite and the powerful, you know, but he's doing all their bidding. I mean, 200,000+ times where they abused the FISA system in 1 year, you know, targeting Americans illegally. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't that dude fired right now? Why aren't there FBI agents getting locked up by other FBI agents and getting thrown in jail?
Yeah. Because they did an internal audit and they fixed some things.
Oh, yeah. No, we're doing better, guys. Yeah. Sorry.
Oops. Yeah. Our bad. Yeah. We didn't mean to do that to the American citizens. Yeah. Yeah. It's just imagine because you've got the FBI, all of these people, basically the politicians controlling pulling their strings and all that. And then the corporations pulling the politician strings. Do you think, and people are just like, it's okay. You know, whatever. I got a life to live. Do you think if the same thing were true, like with the Supreme Court justice, like that was controlled by a political party, do you think that would get people bent out of shape enough to actually do something about it? Or would, because I know there's liberal and there's conservative and they all have their own leanings, but they're all pretty separate from politicians, right?
Dude, you had someone from the Supreme Court leak a draft memo.
Yeah.
Right. Of the Hobbs decision. And they can't find that person. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Supreme Court's already that way in a lot of ways. You know, they're just, I guess from the conservative side, you know, it's just, there's more conservatives on it right now.
Yeah.
But they're working on that one. Right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see the Democrats take control of everything again, that they wouldn't try to impeach Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Like they have been doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's insane. That dude takes, I can't believe from the get-go, right before he even, or right when he was trying to get in there, just shot after shot after shot.
Was it Anita Hill?
What's that?
I think it was Anita Hill that went after him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what they do. But that's my point, though, is they can go after him. They're almost like it's, you can tell that they're frustrated because they can't get to them or they can't, you know, have them do their bidding. And I'm talking like an actual Supreme Court justice that does things because their political party asked them to. And maybe that does happen. I don't know. But for the most part, you think that the Supreme Court makes decisions based on that group of people and their feelings and their ideals and all that stuff, not the political party that is benefiting them the most. But once that gets corrupted to the point where the government controls it, I mean, that's the last bastion we have.
Right. Look at the process of that. It is kind of corrupted in a way. Like if the other part, when the Democrats when the Republicans were pushing people in to the Supreme Court, right. If the Democrats had anything, you're not going to see that it's the whole process is hijacked. I mean, look at this woman from 50 years ago comes out and says you did this at some party back in the day. It's the same old, you know, they rinse and repeat every time on this stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's frustrating, and it's to the point where, and I hate it when people just sort of tune out, because I think that's part of the problem in this country is people just tuning out and not giving a crap about politics.
Well, I think everybody's getting worn out though. Like, I mean, look at the level of nonsense that we're dealing with. Like there are things that happen every day in politics now that used to be like a once a year, once every 6 months, like kind of thing, you know, and it's every day something new is coming out. Oh, look at this big thing that just happened. Next day, something comes out that you know, oh, well, we forgot about what happened yesterday. Here's this new thing. And then the day after, a couple days after, I mean, the news cycle is just, it's on rapid fire.
Yeah. 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 And it's annoying. It really is, because nothing ever happens. If there were repercussions, if something did happen, that would be, you know, it would be a different story. But considering that that's all you hear is this and that and this and that, and then nothing happens. It's like, you know, what's the point? Why bang your head against the wall? Just prepare and wait for it to all just completely implode. Sort of on the same topic, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, and then we'll get to that COVID thing. But I wanted your thoughts on, let me see if I can share this right here. I just saw this and I thought it was interesting. Nothing, you know, it's not like some groundbreaking article or anything, but there's this tweet from System Collapses, but it talks about, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is the problem. The U.S. population in 1955, 161 million. U.S. mental asylum patients in 55, 559,000. U.S. population in 23, 332 million. U.S. mental asylum patients in 23, 35,000. So I'm just curious, because I know they did some shady crap back then, right? Where it's probably a good thing that there aren't as many people locked up, because they were doing electroshock therapy and all sorts of crazy shit back then. But do you think that's part of it? Did it just completely just go away, I guess, is my point, rather than changing the system, how they did things?
What, the mental health
side? Yeah, yeah.
No, Reagan cut they had a bunch of mental health, and Reagan cut a bunch of it in the 80s. And I don't think our country has ever done much to address mental health.
Yeah.
Think about it, man. We talk about the pharmaceutical complex, the military industrial, all these organizations, or these groups of like-minded business people, right? The mental health side of it is the same. I mean, I watched a video yesterday or the day before of some veteran with PTSD, and he's in his car in tears, and he's like, I want help. I'm trying to get help. And he goes, every time I go back to the VA, they bounce me to a new doctor, they delay my treatment. He goes, I'm just trying to get on top of things. And the guy's trying to hold it together. And, you know, and it's until you've been in that spot, it's really hard to understand it. But we're like, you can barely function, right? And we don't have anything for that, really. I mean, Dakota Meyer, who won the Medal of Honor in Afghanistan for like some crazy shit. Like, this guy was the sole survivor of his squad, and he ended up like killing Taliban with rocks and stuff. Like, damn. Crazy story that this guy went through, right? That guy talked about it, I think, on Rogan. And he's like, man, when I was having mental health problems, I would call the VA up. And he goes, I'm a rock star at the VA because they know I'm a Medal of Honor recipient. And he goes, dude, it would take me 2 weeks to get in. I had a buddy when the Afghanistan thing was falling apart, who spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, called the VA like, hey, I need to get an appointment. Oh, we can get you in next month, right? So, I mean, from the VA to out just in society, you know, it's kind of all over the map. I don't think we do much to really address good mental health. And what I'm hearing now is like, I've seen some things with Congress people and political leaders that are out there saying, well, we need to get the law so we can force someone to get you locked up. And it's like, no, you just need to have the health, like the access. People should be able to have access to get mental health treatment when they need it. It's not like if you don't get the treatment, like, oh, it's the cold, it'll go away. No, you need help. You need treatment to get through it. And what do? They throw a bunch of drugs at them, pharmaceutical industry, instead of working on the root causes.
Yeah.
So our mental health system is a train wreck. Our whole healthcare system is a train wreck in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there most people are one serious illness away from bankruptcy. You know, in the country, like you have some serious illness, and yeah, there's people with really great health insurance. There's a lot of people with health insurance that taps out at a certain point, right? I mean, it's a mess. Why do we still not allow health insurance to be carried across state lines? That's competition. That's free market competition. They don't want that.
Yeah.
Because they make more money doing it this way, right? That would benefit, you know, we the people. But they don't want that.
Nothing should anymore. Nothing can benefit we the people. You did hit on two points that the whole reason I brought this up, though, too, is because, one, do you think that it and I think you sort of answered it, but you can expand if you want. Do you think it's contributing to the fact that society is so different than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Not necessarily the amount of asylums, but just the focus on mental health. And that's what you were talking about, where it just disappeared.
I think it's the political leaders playing games.
Yeah.
I think that's what the problem with society is. I mean, when you have, look, our justice system needs to be reformed, right? We lock people up for years for nonviolent offenses, right? You go in there and supposedly you do your time, you come out, and next thing you know, like you got this thing you're carrying around your neck like a scarlet letter for the rest of your life. You don't rehabilitate people. A lot of the problem with the prison population is people have mental health issues. That's why they go off and do the stuff they do, right? When they're in there, hey, have a nice time in your room, but we don't try to rehabilitate people. We incarcerate people.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, we're punishing you. Sure. You should go in there and deal with, but we don't try to do anything to get to when somebody comes out, they become a productive member of society. Right. And what are the leaders doing across the board? I mean, we talked about the George Soros DAs. They're just letting people out to repeat offend like crazy. Yeah. But when you go and you deal with a guy on a subway that's threatening people, you know, and you know, the guy ends up dying in the process of people trying to subdue him, what do? Now you're gonna go prosecute people. If that guy on the subway, Neely or whatever his name is, if he had killed somebody, he'd be released from jail. But the guy that subdues him and you know, accidentally kills him in the process, that guy gets prosecuted.
Yeah.
So I think it's gamesmanship that's why our society is in the way. You know, I don't know if we talked about before on the last show, but I watched something that was really good a while back, and they were talking about how a lot of what you see the Democratic Party doing, this identity politics, is because they're trying to bolster their numbers. Right. So they're creating a lot of this mayhem over the trans rights issues. I mean, dude, I go to there's a couple of comedy clubs nearby and I'll go there. It's really interesting because the comedians there, they're all pretty much all super woke, right? It's Southern California. And at the same time, all of them are talking about this stuff too, right? They're all scared. Like, I've heard it over and over again, like, oh, we got a war coming. Like, and put in their comedy routines but they're being serious about it. You know, and they're like, and they're talking about this division that the establishment is doing. It's, you know, again, I think it's all part of the game plan, man. I think it's all part of what they're trying to do to retain power.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Robert, I figured out how I might be able to pull up comments from Rumble, but Robert said over there, because there is no profit in state-run institutions, Big Pharma can invent a pill for anything and everything that's in the state's best interest. They want to get paid. And that's where you also alluded to that, and I wanted to go to, is the fact that society has, that could be one reason that society has gone down the tubes, is because there's no focus there, and they want to put that focus on you buying a pill mm-hmm. for that. But I think there's also something to be said with that mentality that there's a pill for that, because the side effects on all of these things are nonstop in the commercials and all of those things. Side effects that make you homicidal, side effects that make you suicidal.
Well, you know, we're one of two countries in the world that allows Big Pharma to advertise on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is ridiculous, but there's money in it.
Yeah. Well, cause why is that allowed? Right. Because they're paying for it. Right. They're using their influence to get those spots. It's a mess. I mean, dude, how many drug commercials do you see during the day? It's nonstop.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And then they blast through the oh, this is going to make your dick fall off, and this is going to do this, and this is going to do that. But it's going to make your life better. Yarbrough said in there, our former police chief locked up all the weed for a decade, and now he runs the largest legal weed operation in the state. Yeah, go figure. I think that's hilarious because I watch shows where it's like old cop shows and things where they're talking about somebody having possession of weed and things like that. And like it's some huge ass deal. You think about it these days and it's kind of like, you know, it wouldn't even make it on TV. But back then, even 10 years ago, it was like this big, this huge thing, like having weed was this big thing.
I mean, think about it. Right. They got the war on drugs going. Then they did the DARE program in the 80s. And when they're doing the DARE program, telling people to rat out their family members, Reagan and the CIA are pushing drugs into our inner cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like rat out your family members that we're selling drugs, that we're giving drugs to.
Yeah. For the people, by the people.
Yeah.
Give you plenty of drugs for the people. All right. At any rate, we're already at 45 minutes, man. That was a good conversation. There was a lot of long stuff about the whole political thing, but I think what I'm going to do, because I do want to get into this Pfizer thing before we end the show, I am going to stop the stream on YouTube. So everyone over there, jump on over to Rumble. I'm pretty sure I have the link to the Rumble video in the show notes. If not, just go to Rumble and go to the Survival Preppers. But thank you all for joining in, Little Lone Prepper and Yarbird and Batshit Crazy and everyone else, Peter. But we will talk to y'all later and we'll continue the show over here. Okay, so I wanted to play this little video clip, and I didn't want to do it on that channel on on YouTube, because this dude, this guy is an ex, and I guess I can put this on over here. This guy is an ex-VP of Pfizer, right here it says. Former Vice President Pfizer, Dr. Mike Yadin, on the consequences of events which led him to conclude that the so-called pandemic was planned. I'll just play this because, and I want to get your thoughts on it. But this guy is actually worked there. I mean, granted, not yet or not now, but has actually got a little bit more insider knowledge than, say, you or I do on this whole subject. So let me put this on full screen and I'll play it.
Thank you for joining us. And you are a former vice president of Pfizer. Could you just tell us very briefly about your position there?
So I was, until 2011, for many years, I was responsible for worldwide research and early developments in their field of respiratory and allergy new medicines. That was it. 200 people indirectly across a couple of sites.
So that gave you a real insight into what was happening in early 2020.
There's not very many corners of this industry I've not had some knowledge of. And when I started noticing former colleagues of mine, including Sir Patrick Vallance, saying things on the television that I knew weren't true and that I knew he knew weren't true, that's when the penny dropped for me, probably February 2020. I remember saying to my wife, this is not what they're saying it is. Something's going on. And then when I saw not only my country locking down, but dozens of countries locking down at the same time, I would say to your listeners, that was proof, and it's still proof, of a supranational operation. There's no way it could have happened at the local level, at the country level. Therefore, it must have occurred at the level above. Whether it was the WHO or the World Economic Forum or other, I don't know. But I'm convinced that action alone absolutely proves unequivocally that we didn't just get some virus drifting in and then, oh, we all panicked. They all did the same stupid, ineffective, known not to work things at the same time, none of which were in their country's pandemic preparedness plans, because I've read them all.
So I can play the end here in a minute if you want, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Oh, I want to put this on this screen, damn it. the main thing that got me with this, the reason I wanted to play this today, is because it talks about how it's coordinated. And I've been saying this from the beginning, how it really seems like, you know, whether it was from China, whether it was us or whatever, nobody in the world is pointing fingers at anybody with this. So it really does seem like, to me, and all the responses were exactly the same. I mean, some a little worse than others because they could, basically. Whereas here in the United States, they had to skirt around a little bit. And then, you know, Canada decided to push the limits and found out that they could. But all the responses were the same. All the, I mean, everything was so coordinated and nobody is pointing the fingers at China or the United States. And that's what makes me think, what are your thoughts on as far as it being coordinated?
China and the United States are the two big kids on the block, right? And they run, and, you know, I mean, China locks down their social media and they lock down their entire population for 3 years in their apartments, right? And we control the narrative, right? So no, I think something interesting he said, he goes, I looked at the pandemic response plans. That was always one of my complaints about Trump with it all, was early on, I mean, the government had a pandemic response plan and they didn't go by any of it. They didn't follow it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was all this politics and hip shooting. And again, I don't even know if it was politics really. It was power brokering, right? It's like, how do we gain power? How do we gain control? That's what the pandemic in my mind was. It was a way for them to gain control and power. You know, I mean, whether if you don't believe it was intentionally released and you believe it was accidental and it came from bat soup, well, they still went after it the same way. Right. So it's, what's the next, what's the next crisis that comes that they use to leverage more power? Right. Yeah. I'd argue that right now in the United States, with the way the borders open, we're flooding in, who knows how many terrorists that are flooding in here. So watch in the next couple of years that we don't have some sort of terrorist event, maybe. Right. Yeah. They use that. Oh, well, had we only monitored more of people's shit, we would have stopped this. Right. Not thinking about, hey, had we shut down the border, we could have done something. Right. So they're just waiting for the next best thing to unleash the newest technology and the newest draconian lockdowns on us.
Yeah. Well, and you think about the way we were talking about earlier, how everybody is just, it's not just politicians that are slime balls anymore. It's the whole damn machine, from the media to, you think about this type of situation, the world, the World Economic Forum as well, but the World Health Organization and all of these corporate or these machines that are all working together to formulate that whole narrative.
The World Health Organization. I mean, how far away is the World Health Organization from the World Economic Forum? When, you know, hey, let me make a phone call. Let's all get together, right? You got everybody getting together, and the WF, the Bilderberger Group just met. I think, was it last week or the week before? Like, so they're still playing all their games that they're doing, and it's working. It's working for them. I mean, look at where we're at right now.
Yeah. You well, know, it reminds me of that article you and Daisy did, where you put all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. The timeline of what could have been and all of that. And it's insane to think about how all of this stuff unfolded. I mean, I was thinking it at the time, but with hindsight, it's even worse.
I mean, is it coincidental that they did Johns Hopkins did their tabletop exercise, Event 201?
Yeah.
On the same day that the world military games started in Wuhan, China. A month or so after they're pretty sure that the virus is already running out and run down. You know, I mean, is that all coincidental? Or is it coincidental that the FBI just happens to randomly, you know, target people and to do things, right? Like, there's all these, that's just some bad people doing stuff. That's the minority. No, it's across the board, just nonstop. Oh, look at this mistake. Look at this coincidence.
Yeah.
How can you believe in that these are coincidences and mistakes anymore? I mean, maybe I'm just a nut job. I definitely am that. But you look at it and it's like, no, man. I mean, they're still out there. People are still out there pushing the vaccine.
Yeah. Right? Even like, though there's proof.
Are you crazy? Dude, I mean, I'm out here in the People's Republic of California, right? You go to a doctor's office or wherever. They want you. They're trying to make you mask up still.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And, you know, hey, if they say, hey, we have immune compromised people in here, we'd like everyone to wear a mask to try to protect it. You know what? I could play your game. But it's still over the COVID shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything on TV about excess deaths. None of this stuff. Right. So, again, the coincidences aren't coincidences, in my opinion, just because there's so many of them. That are proving, you know, they're ferreting out and proving true.
Yeah. Lisa just recently was there. They don't have to wear masks anymore. Just recently. I was like, she told me that the other day. I was like, you still have to wear a damn mask? I said, that's ridiculous. But yeah, the coincidence is, that's like I put in the description too, the lead time between conspiracy theory and proven fact is about 2 weeks now. And it's almost like anytime you question anything, any sort of narrative, any sort of something that comes out of the mainstream media or the politicians or whatever, you are labeled that, oh, you're just out of your damn mind.
Well, you know, it's like with the Durham report that came out, right? Like you could not like Trump and say, hey, I'm glad Trump's gone. Whatever you want to say about him. And at the same time, you should read the Durham report and go, wow, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not what happens now. You have all the media calling out, oh, the Durham report, it's a bunch of BS. It's all this, you know, which if that report had come out against Trump, dude, there'd be like, they'd be shooting off fireworks over.
Oh yeah.
You know? So it's this, what do you call it? It's a shit show.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I even don't think shit show is a good enough term to describe what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't matter which side it goes on. If this stuff is allowed to happen, we're in for it. And you look at the way this pandemic was handled and the way that this pandemic was, and not just handled by them, but handled by, you know, civilians. There were some uprisings, you know, Canada did its a little bit. Australia did a little bit, but it was all squashed in the end. What the next one, all they did was learn from this and... Yeah. It, you know, event 201, you know, event 202 or whatever, it's going to be even worse because they're going to understand how this, the things that they got wrong in that, because I think all the governments across the world probably freaked out and they're like, oh crap, what do we do? Sort of like Trump did. Oh crap, I don't know what to do. And then they just went to event 201 as like their little playbook.
Well, and you know, the problem with it was, you know, let's go back to January of 2020. Let's assume that you have a pandemic that's heading our way. That's like going to cause a lot of problems. You know, we've talked about 10% lethality rate kind of stuff. Like if COVID was a 10 or 20% lethality rate, it would have broke, our society would have crumbled.
Yeah.
Right. We were fighting over toilet paper before people were really getting sick. So if you look at that and you go, okay, when we had COVID come, how well did our government do? They did for shit.
Yeah.
Right. They use it to coordinate the largest transfer of upward transition of wealth in human history and to enforce lockdowns and to do a bunch of draconian shit. Okay. Well, how much confidence should that give us when, if something serious comes, do we actually, and it's a reason why people should be preppers. Do you actually think the government's going to coordinate an effective response against it? No,
they go straight to
political division every time.
Yeah.
Every time. They don't give two shits about who dies. And those numbers are little playing pieces for them to use against the other side. I mean, go back to New York when COVID was hitting, right? Trump set the USS Comfort in there, right? The hospital ship. They didn't use it for COVID patients. They set up field hospitals in Central Park and other places. Didn't put any patients in it. Instead, what did they do? They did a kickback to the old folks' homes, and they put active COVID patients into old folks' homes and stuff with the demographic that is the most susceptible to COVID, old people.
Yeah,
right. That's our society, and not a fucking thing has happened since that. Has Cuomo been tried or been pulled up to like, hey, we're gonna do anything? Is Fauci? Nope. So it's the ultimate reason why to be a prepper, because they're not going to manage it for the benefit of the people. They're going to manage it for their political ends. That's all they give a fuck. Nancy Pelosi doesn't give a fuck about people. None of them do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, Mitch McConnell, he don't give a fuck.
Yeah. None of them do. They don't really even understand what it's like to live like an average American actually lives. Cause they're up there in their ivory castle eating their $20-$40 of whatever it is, ice cream and all that crap. Lisa said here in the chat, I'm just pasting these in with the captions and
oh, nice.
She said they're gonna have another round of virus that's bigger and badder than COVID. Show them how good little sheeple we are. Yeah, and I think that goes to what you were talking about with as preppers, we need to figure that out on our own. And I suppose listen to what they have to say about things a little bit, but I'm really hesitant as far as what comes around the next time, especially when you think about the vaccine. When it's been proven, and I'm not, saying that the vaccine was not good for some people, but the fact that it's almost, unheard of to talk about the side effects and the things that it's actually doing wrong.
I'll say it. I don't know how good the mRNA vaccine was, right? Don't forget there was the Johnson & Johnson that didn't have the mRNA technology in it, right? Because here's the problem with it. They still haven't figured out, they haven't figured out the after effects. What's happening as a result of that? Here's the part though. Let me ask you this. So they get, the boogeyman virus number two comes around here in the next, I don't know, year, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, we're running an election. They need something, right? They got to do something to create something for this.
Yeah. Election.
So they got whatever coming out and they say, hey, we have a vaccine. How many people after this last shit show where we know the abuses we're seeing, Pfizer, since you had the Pfizer guy, right? Oh no, we need to suppress our trials and our data for 75 years.
Yeah.
Right. And we've seen what has come out has been like, oh, you motherfuckers, like that was like way out of bounds. So how many people are going to get on board with that one? I imagine hardly any, unless you're out here in Southern California with a Biden sign in your yard.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And only then, think about it. If a Republican's in when they come out with that, they're going to see, because what happened with Kamala Harris and Biden both said, oh, we wouldn't take a vaccine that came out from under Trump.
Yeah. And then 2 months later.
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, it's the greatest thing ever.
Get your shot.
And the sad part is like, I look back at World War II, our technology and the ability of the United States to make some shit and do well is pretty good. Like we do a really good job with it. The problem comes in when they put dollars before actual people and before effective work, right? And so that's what all that, in my opinion, a lot of what that was all about the money for Big Pharma. So do we think that they're going to change that game plan when it comes out again?
No.
I mean, I don't have a problem. Like if you come out and you say, hey, we have something that will work and we know it will work and has a good chance of working. Yeah, I'll entertain any fucking idea. Down everything isn't a good way to be a prepper. You need to look at things and say, hey, what are the advantages and disadvantages? Do your own SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and I can't remember what the T is off the top of my head right now.
Threats.
Right? And threats. There you go. Thanks. And do your own SWOT analysis on stuff. But right now, when I look at weakness and threats, government involvement. Big corporate involvement. Right? I have no faith in the system. And so I don't think I think the scary part is if shit does happen, I think most people don't have faith in the system right now.
Yeah. I went to a
Jimmy Dore show last night, right down out here. And so, dude, there were people in there from Canada, bro, to a 50 seat little comedy venue. People came from Canada to listen to that dude. So like people from around the world are like, no, this is bullshit. What's happening? I mean, we talk about the war in Ukraine. We say all the time, like, dude, like my understanding was Bakhmut fell, right? And that Ukraine's just getting hammered. It's not working out well. Like we all agree that the Ukrainian people are getting fucked in this, but the world powers don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians getting killed. Right. We do the Nord Stream pipeline, we blow that shit up. Like we got one thing after another that our government or governments around the world are involved in. No one's saying a fucking peep about that stuff. So yeah, man. Again, best time to be a prepper ever.
Yeah. Well, they've got half the world convinced basically that it's a good thing that they're funneling all this money. And I'm talking all the governments across the world, funneling all this money into Ukraine and stopping this stuff because this is the only thing that's gonna, stop Russia or whatever. That is not their plan. Their plan is not to stop Russia. Their plan is to keep this going as long as they possibly can. Well, so But it's all about the money. Yeah. It always flows back to the money.
Brandon said in there, where's the talk about Big Pharma. Where's the infrastructure? Infrastructure. Of course, Big Pharma is going to be the ones to develop whatever. Yeah. You know, the problem comes in is when you have a guy like Anthony Fauci and the CDC that and you know, the FDA that are supposed to be monitoring this shit and overseeing it. And what does Fauci and the NIH do? They make money off of those drugs when those drugs go to market. They're all making millions. So like the fox is watching the hen house. Right? Yeah. Fauci don't give a shit about the people. And we do go read up on the Fauci stuff from the AIDS epidemic. Right? That guy's been in the bag for making money and doing his own self-promotion for years. So, you know, that again, the FBI is supposed to be out there being on our side. Nope, that's not gonna happen. They're on their side. They're the Gestapo.
Yeah. The pharmaceutical companies are invincible. The media can't say anything against them because they put too much money into the media. They've got lobbyists in Washington. So anything they want to, you know, get through or you know, get somebody throw a blind eye, don't look at this, just push it through. I mean, they've got control of everything. So, yeah, pharmaceutical companies can basically, I mean, unless it's extreme, do whatever they want or figure out a way to get it done.
I mean, go back and look at the opioid thing with the Sackler family, right? The Sacklers go ahead and they create an epidemic of getting people hooked on Oxycontin and all the other bullshit. Now those people are getting killed off by fentanyl. But they go ahead and create this thing. They prove that they used marketing tactics and they lied and they did all kinds of nefarious shit to push their addictive drugs. They've proven that. And then what happens? They go to court after making like $100 million or billions of dollars. They go to court and they pay some little fucking fine. And the fine might have been $1 billion, but they made
billions
of that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we got penalized. Where do you think the rest of that money goes that they didn't get penalized? Politicians' pockets? Let's figure out what the next thing we can do to screw over the American people.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think it is that all they ever talk about is bringing down the price of insulin, right? What about all the other ones? You know, there's a whole lot that people that say over 80, 90 years old, probably a lot of medications they need, right? What about all those medications? How come those prices? Because I guarantee you they cost a fraction of what they make.
Bring down the price of insulin and the drug companies don't give a shit. Because we've fattened up our society so much that we have so many diabetics going out that they're making monster amounts of money off of it. You know, you can call me a hippie, call me whatever you want. If someone needs a drug in this country to live, and we have all the we waste the trillions of dollars that we do. If you're on insulin, everybody should get free fucking insulin, man. You know, and free diet and like, hey, here's how you diet, right? Here's how you can do it. Like, dude, I'm a type 2 diabetic. I have to take metformin. You know why I don't take metformin? Like, I don't eat. The whole intermittent fasting, I don't eat till usually 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon now. I go all day. I have coffee and water all fucking day long. Right? That's what I have to do to try to stay healthy and try to get my shit down. But the government, why aren't we? Come on. The right to life. And, you know, and people say, well, you should have insurance. Dude, there's a lot of people that can't get insurance out there. It's impossible for some people. They can't afford it. I worked at a hospital as a fucking paramedic, and they didn't offer me insurance back in the day. I had no health care as a fucking paramedic working in a hospital. And even if I was in a position to get the health care that hospital offered, they didn't even take their own insurance.
That is hilarious. Yeah. It probably wasn't at the time, but that is hilarious.
Oh, no. No, it's a mess, right? And so anyway, I mean, like, dude, you look at it again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is Vision right here. Big Pharma in it for the treatment, not the cure. Yeah. And that's the whole – this goes back to, you know, why society has completely fallen apart. As many gains as we've made as a society, it is just the way that people are at each other's throats and the things that people are willing to do to each other, there's got to be – some correlation between the fact that they just don't give a crap about mental health and then their pharmaceutical companies, all those different pills and those chemicals and things, they have to do something to your body chemistry. And I don't know.
We were talking about we were talking about mental health in the beginning of the show. Like, what's the deal with mental health? A lot of mental health is once you figure it out and you get on top of it, you really don't need the mental health therapy anymore. So again, it goes back to saying they're in for the treatment. They're not in for the cure, right? As long as they can keep, you know, big pharma, if you don't have a bunch of people that have their shit figured out for their mental health, let's just keep pushing drugs down their throat.
Yeah. 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 Tiger in the, I'm sitting here looking at the at Rumble and you're talking and I'm not hearing anything. So I got confused because we got a 15 second delay, but Tiger said some pills cost $1,000 a box. EpiPens cost $5. This is RT Dan. What's going on, RT? EpiPens cost $5 to make and sell for a couple $100. It's insane the money that they're allowed to make, and nobody's going to say a damn thing to them because the media outlets can't do a story on how bad it is because that's our advertisers. The politicians aren't going to do it.
Right.
So you got to have the Jimmy Dores and crap. What were you going to say? Sorry.
What I was going to say is think about the whole fentanyl epidemic, right? Going in. What is that doing? Before the fentanyl problem, if you had something going on, I busted up my back. I mean, hey, when I played rugby, I had no problem. Hey, man, you got something from the doc, right? And I'd bump whatever off somebody to like
Percocet or something
the night. Yeah, whatever it was, right? Dude, you didn't like the idea of taking a pill from somebody nowadays is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking insane. So what's happening? Dude, I mean, there's still people obviously dying of fentanyl because they're going out and doing stuff. But I'm not getting it unless it's a prescription from the pharmacy. Like I get it straight from that pharmacy. Maybe it's helping them out competitively.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. I think Robert was saying in the chat earlier, they're just killing all the drug addicts and stuff with the fentanyl. So it's not like they really want to stop it. I don't know. I think this whole show, I should have called this, it's all about the money, because that's basically what the whole system we're in right now is. If you're not part of that upper class, that elite, that somebody that's got some sway in something, it doesn't really matter. As far as disaster response, like you were talking about with the pandemic, we're almost secondary mm-hmm. to the government as far as what's going to go on. There's more politics and behind the scenes of who's going to get their cut and who's going to do this and do that. And then finally, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. We got to go help these people out. Or if there's no money in it, then you're like Ohio with the train derailment out there. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. There's not a pill for that, so we're going to have to wait a few minutes.
Yeah, so. I mean, dude, like driving around, going out and driving to places around here, it's just I was driving yesterday when I was going to the Jimmy Dore show, right? And I drive this old 96 van around L.A., and I'm driving under an overpass, and I have to swerve because a guy is literally sitting in the gutter and has it's like his front porch. For his box. Like,
that's the way you get killed.
He's just like, that's where he sits. That's part of his house. It's like his front porch. He's sitting out there smoking, hanging out. And in traffic on the center median, like they're all over. I have people step off probably once a week driving around. I'll have someone step right out in front of the vehicle. Right.
Jesus.
So, you know, it's a dangerous place, man. It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. You know, and I don't fault those people. I mean, they're stuck in a, you can't afford to live in California. I mean, dude, you go out and you grab a burger and something else. You're 20, 30 bucks. Taco Bell. Oh man, you better have some gift certificates or budget for Taco Bell.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I got to stop looking at Rumble. I'm looking at the comments.
Hey, everybody, smash the like button if you haven't already done so.
Yeah, that's what Vision just said in there, too. Ibuprofen causes inflammation, what Tiger was saying. this is so confusing watching two Rumbles at the same time and then a restream thing.
Sounds like, hey, if you have two Rumbles, isn't that a riot?
Yeah. But I think we are done today. Like I said, anybody that wants to join that group, I've talked about in the beginning. If you weren't here, just go in the description of this video. There's a link in there. You can join that. Brian's going to be at Prepper Camp. I don't know how many of you are, you know, planning on getting out there, but that if you want a chance to meet up with Brian and say, hey, he will, I don't want to say will be, but most likely be out there at Prepper Camp along with probably the usuals, right? Franklin Horton and
yeah.
So should be a good time out there. But you have anything to add before we get out of here, Brian?
No, everybody have a good week, man. Keep your head on a swivel and try not to let all this shit in the world get you down.
Yeah, that's literally what I've been doing. I'm glad it's summertime because then I've got the garden, I've got chickens, I got all sorts of things. There's no reason to watch TV right now because it is to the point where it's like it doesn't even matter. So, all right, everyone, I appreciate y'all joining in. Everyone that came over from YouTube to Rumble. Appreciate it. Everybody that's been here on Rumble, appreciate you guys. We'll be doing this show. Every time we do a show, it will definitely be on Rumble. Also in that group, I am going to, anytime I schedule a show, I'm going to make sure and put it in that group as well. So that's another reason to join that group. Get updated on stuff. Did I just put that on? Or did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's Brian Duff. Anyway. Later, everyone. I'm going to get out of here before I screw this up any worse. Talk to you all later. Take care and prepare.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com. Or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.